It's morning, you know. And I'm not a morning person, so wait till you see me next Saturday. This morning, our scripture is from Acts, or as I was younger, I'm pretty sure we called it the Acts of the Apostles. And we're going to join one of the apostles. Now, Philip, the apostle we're going to join, have you ever had a day or a time when you felt you just had to go see someone? You had to call them in today's era, you didn't have to go see. Anybody ever had that feeling you just had to? George is nodding. I'm sure some of you have. And you go there and they say, "Wow, I'm so glad to hear from you. I needed someone right now." Well, that's the kind of story this is. Let us join with Philip, who's in Jerusalem. And it's after Stephen is stoned. And at that time, south of Jerusalem was the desert to Gaza. And it was, you know, about as safe as going to Gaza today. And let's see what happened with Philip and how he answered that call. Acts 8, 26 to 40. "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and walk along beside the carriage.' Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' The man replied, 'How can I, unless someone instructs me?' And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?' So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?' He ordered the carriage to stop. They went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself further north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. May the Lord bless to us this reading of his holy word."
Thank you, Diane. You know, at those occasions in the life of a church when there's a minister pastor being inducted into a charge, what they typically do in the course of that service of an induction is they have the new minister come and stand at the front for the charge and has to stand there for she has to stand there for that whole time, you know, while it's being given, unless there's a dispensation given from the person who's giving the charge that they could sit down. So I had it in my mind this morning that I would have Ashlyn and Alyssa come and stand here at the front while I gave this message, because this message is really for them. But all the rest of you, oh, Ashlyn's looking relieved. Alyssa, where are you? Oh, you're right there, doubly relieved. This message is really for you, but the rest of you get to listen in. You know, as Pastor Mike said, that it's a wonderful day, and that you have invested the kind of time and energy, passion, and commitment that you have. really to understand, to know, to experience what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to follow in the way of Christ, to know Him as Lord and Savior in your lives. I thank Pastor Mike and all those who assisted him along the way and all that happened. Let me tell you this, and those who are here as family and friends for this occasion, they're celebrating this morning, not only here, but also in heaven, as the two of you have professed your faith. You've said, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 10 and verse 9 that if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So I say again, there's joy, there's rejoicing in heaven, even as there is right now here on earth, here in Knox Church, as you've committed yourselves to follow in the way of Jesus as the Master Teacher, your Lord and your God. Now, you've learned along the way that He doesn't leave you alone, Jesus. He gives you His Spirit to lead you and to guide you. You have the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the risen Christ living in you, and the Spirit of God is ready, eager, more than willing to take you on the great adventure of living in God's kingdom. Now you may ask, well, what does that actually look like? And that's where I want to come to the story this morning that Diane has read. The children in Sunday school are going to be learning about, because the story is about Philip, a Jewish follower of Jesus, and it's about a man of color, a black man from Ethiopia, who was the treasurer to the queen of Ethiopia. And it really does provide a good example for us of how all of that's going to look. At the beginning of the passage, it's like bookends here in the passage. At the beginning of the passage and at the end, we have the clue that unlocks the dynamic of what it means to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. What it means to follow Jesus as Lord in our day for you. Acts 8, verse 26, and then Acts 8, verse 39. Listen, an angel of the Lord, here's the first bookend, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, and then at the end, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Now, the key, understand this, the key is not so much hearing a voice or being caught away. The key is being widely available to God the Holy Spirit to take you and to lead you and to be eager to embrace everything that God the Spirit is doing in your life. You know, for Philip, you really have this sense that there was no reserve, there was no hesitation, there was no resistance, no unwillingness. What there was this wide open willingness to obey God, even when that might look strange and foolish and it might look, different to others. I thank God that in the course of what Pastor Mike was doing with you this morning, he had us respond as a congregation, because I want you to know this, that you have a family. Alyssa, Ashlyn, you have a family here that's willing to help you figure out all of what this means for you to follow Jesus as Lord over your life. God doesn't want you to do this alone. You're not left to figure out all of this on your own, what it means to follow Jesus as Lord. You know, we're going to sing a song. It's interesting. I had this in the message, but listening to the preparation and knowing the song that comes, we're in this together. When we sing this in a few moments after we come to the table, sing that out and know it, the two of you and all of us together. We're in this together. And I hope that the two of you will never, ever feel left out. You'll never feel on the fringes. You'll never feel marginalized from the fellowship of this church, the family of this church, because of your youth. Don't. And I'm thrilled that we took the vow that we did. Let nothing exclude you from being a full part of this family of God. We're in this together. But back to the story. The Spirit of the Lord says to Philip, go. Now, Philip had every cultural reason to say no. You see, Jews and Africans didn't really hang out together in that day. They didn't have a lot to do with each other. But Philip wide open to the Spirit, said yes. And that yes of Philip would eventually lead to an incredible cultural, stunning gospel breakthrough, really. Because what we have in Acts 8 is this, I mean, it's a stunning and thrilling story. It's the story of the first non-Jew to come to faith and be baptized. And that person was a person of color from Ethiopia. Now, I'm going to return to the whole implication of all that gospel breakthrough for you, but I want to get back to the story. And I'll stick with the story, because here we have this Ethiopian treasurer to the queen, and he's reading from the scriptures, and he doesn't get it. It's not clicking. He's not understanding it. And Philip's there, and he says, can you help me understand this? I mean, I need assistance. I really do need some help. Now, what Philip gave him, eager to do that, but he didn't give him verses just lifted out of context and robbed of all their meaning. What Philip offered this man was the story of the Scripture, the story of the grand sweep of God at work. Thrilling to me to hear and see the Bibles that Mike has given to you, that your mom Ashlyn and Gwen gave to you, Alyssa, the archaeological study Bible and the rock solid study Bible. But you know this, you get this, that you got to read it, you got to dig into it, and not just started doing that, but continue doing that and become familiar with the big story, the grand narrative, the whole sweep of Scripture, and how it's all held together from Genesis through Revelation. Philip had that in the Scriptures that he had, and this is what he shared with this man. He talked to him about God, God the Creator, and about our human brokenness, our rebellion and resistance to God. He shared with him the story about Abraham and Sarah, about Moses and Miriam, about King David, about the, right through to the prophets, and then culminating, climaxing in the story of Christ, of Jesus. And you know, in doing that, in getting to that, he opened up the Scriptures from a portion in Isaiah, the prophet that the Ethiopian was reading. And the search in Isaiah, as you read that, Isaiah 53, it was the search for someone who could do for the people what they couldn't do for themselves. And Philip showed this man that the answer to that quest was Jesus. And not just, this is the breakthrough, not just Jesus for the Jews, but Jesus for everyone, even for an Ethiopian eunuch. And is it any wonder, can we be surprised that this man was then as excited, stopped his carriage, ordered it stopped, and asked to be baptized. He wanted to enter into sharing in this story about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Having heard all about this story of God, the God's story of the world, he wanted to share in that story. He wanted to make it his own personal story. The encounter in Acts 8, I think, I want you to take that with you. Read your Bible, Genesis through to Revelation, but hold on to Acts 8, because there you have, I believe, for you, Alyssa, for you, Ashlyn, a mandate of God. Wherever you go in the course of your life, whatever the situations of need that you come across in your life, your own need, the need of others, whoever comes your way, that you get this real sense, you get it, that they're feeling left out and excluded and marginalized. Listen to those promptings of the Spirit in your life and be open to sharing the message of Jesus with them, the story of Christ, the yes of Jesus over their lives. You know, so many people in our own day, they they write Christians off thinking that our message is essentially one that's no. But it's not. The story that we have, it's not a no. It's a yes, because the story of Philip was a story about Jesus. And Jesus' story is one of yes. And it was one, first of all, to Philip, because it was a yes to this Ethiopian, he needed to say to Philip, go. There had to, that's in the story. On two occasions, to Philip, go. And Philip, he went with the yes of Jesus, this yes of Christ to this man that he met on the side of the road, and how his death had broken the power of evil. His death had exhausted the punishment of sin. His death was the answer. His resurrection was the answer to all of his life's quest and search. That message that Philip shared with the Ethiopian man, it was the message that said, with God, everyone has a place. Everyone gets a seat at the table of God, at God's table, everyone. I want to tell you this morning this. I'm going to be praying for this, because I know this is what's in store for the two of you. I almost feel like I want to get you up here right now, but you're probably safer to sit where you are. God has appointments for you. There are God appointments waiting for the two of you. Now, as I'm saying that, I want you to know, all of you others who have made this profession of faith that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, there are God appointments for you as well. This is the key that unlocks the dynamic of what it means for you to follow Jesus. Because following Jesus, what it's all about this word, go. Go, Jesus, and don't be afraid to go when you get that sense of this God appointment. Don't be afraid to go, because Jesus is going to give you his help. He's going to lead you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to take you step by step forward into the appointments that he has with your friends at school, perhaps with someone who may not even be your friend, but you recognize and you know that they don't really have a whole lot of friends. God appointments for the two of you in your situations and circumstances, even to invite them to your youth group. Even to invite them up to the youth center up at Parkside and Hamilton there for lunch someday. God has God appointments for you. Be open to the Spirit of God nudging you, just to give that invitation for someone to join you. Giving you, as you listen to them, develop the relationship with them to share the story of God, God's story. Genesis through, well, you don't have to go Genesis 1 through to Revelation 22, but, you know, the grand sweep of that story, because the word of God to you is go. Jesus wants to take you places and give you opportunities and bring you into relationships. This, I believe, that are going to blow the lid off of your lives. And what it will require from you is your yes. Yes, Lord, I will go wherever you want me to. Yes, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to. Yes, Lord, I will speak with whoever you want me to. Let's pray together. Lord God, this is a mighty, hugely significant morning for us as a congregation, as a church family, but for these two young people. Thank you for them. Thank you for what you have placed into their lives already. Thank you for the journey that you've been taking them on since the time of their baptism. Thank you for their coming today to profess their faith, to fall down before you and surrender their lives to you, to your claim over their lives. Teach them. Fill them with your strength, your power. Lead them and use them and bear fruit through their lives, we pray. Amen.